I'd like to begin my homily with a little advertisement this morning. In your bulletin this weekend, you'll find this flyer about a consecration to St. Joseph. As you probably know, the church this year is celebrating a year in honor of St. Joseph. And this is an opportunity for us to have a special devotion to St. Joseph in this holy year in his honor. So the consecration to St. Joseph is essentially entrusting ourselves to his care and intercession and protection. God the Father chose St. Joseph to watch over and care for his own son and our Blessed Mother, which teaches us that he has a powerful place in our own spiritual lives to help us to protect the life of grace that God has given us. So the way this works is for 33 days, there are some prayers and readings that are contained in a book that you would receive if you choose to take part. And it all leads up to the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker on May the 1st, when we'll have a special Mass and opportunity then to formally make the consecration to St. Joseph. So you can read more about it on the flyer. But if you are interested, there's a section at the bottom to return to the parish office with your name and contact information, as well as $10 for the book to cover the cost of the book that we'll order and have for you to begin the consecration. So consider that as a way to observe this year of St. Joseph, to take part in this consecration to him as a parish family. Clear theme in our readings today is leprosy. Our first reading from the Old Testament explains how the Jews in the Old Testament approached this disease, this very contagious disease among the people. And then in the Gospel, we have this miracle that our Lord works to heal. A leper comes to him begging for that gift. Every time we see a miracle that our Lord works in the Gospel, certainly on one level, he is concerned for the physical well-being of the person who is sick, or even dead in the case of Lazarus, for example. And he's moved with compassion, certainly for just that physical bodily health of the person. Our bodies, of course, are good, made good by God. And so Jesus desires to restore that gift of physical health. But at the same time, every miracle that he works is also meant to be a sign of something even deeper, more profound, sign of a spiritual reality. Leprosy is a very apt analogy or image for sin. Because, as we heard in the first reading, leprosy in ancient times had this very isolating consequence. We heard in that first reading how the leper had to live apart from the rest of the community, alone. Sin has a similar effect in our lives. It causes a kind of isolation or alienation. We see this on the very first pages of Scripture with the sin of Adam and Eve. They were made for communion with one another and with God. And yet in the wake of the original sin, you begin to see instead this division, this separation. Maybe it's most obvious in the way that Adam and Eve respond to God after the original sin. First of all, we're told that they hide from God. There's this now separation from their Creator. And then when God questions them about their sin, all the finger pointing begins. Adam says, "The woman you put here with me, she made me do it." And Eve says, "The serpent is the one who tricked me into it." There's this separation, this division, even between Adam and Eve, who were made for that union with one another in that primordial marriage. And then even within the human heart, and we all experience this because of original sin, there's this kind of interior separation or division that we experience, where we are drawn to and attracted to and tend to sin and things that are not good for us, that we know aren't good for us, and yet we want it. And so there's this battle that we fight within. Sin has this isolating, dividing, separating effect. And so when our Lord heals the leper today, and imagine what joy that must have brought the leper, not only for his physical health, but now for the fact that he can be part of the community again. He can experience that relationship with others for which the human heart longs. Our Lord is also speaking to this spiritual reality that he has come above all to heal sin and to heal the separation that sin has brought about between us and God, between us and one another, and that separation within the human heart. As we prepare for Lent, which begins this coming Wednesday, maybe a good lens, if you will, through which to consider our Lenten resolutions this year is for each of us to ask ourselves, what kind of spiritual leprosy do I suffer from? What is maybe my most prominent struggle with sin? And where do I, because of that, experience this separation and isolation? Maybe for some of us, it's a struggle with lust in this impure, unchaste age in which we live. Maybe it's a struggle in the area of charity, like maybe gossip, that sin of detraction in which I find myself often speaking unnecessarily about others. Maybe it's a sin of greed or pride or impatience, whatever it may be. Let's identify our spiritual leprosy, and then having identified that, engage in prayer and fasting and almsgiving in Lent for the intention of healing from that sin, asking our Lord for the grace to overcome it and the separation that it has created in our lives. Maybe we could look for even a spiritual book on the topic of that particular sin and its virtue that helps us to overcome it and read that during the season of Lent. One other little detail in the gospel, which is rather interesting for us as Catholics, is the fact that when Jesus healed the leper, what was his instruction to him? Show yourself to the priest. Pointing to the fact that for our spiritual leprosy, there is a certain need to expose, if you will, our illness to the priest. A reference really to the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation. That sacrament is often misunderstood and even objected to by many, even Catholics, not to mention non-Catholics, saying, why do I need to go to a priest? Can't I just ask God directly for forgiveness? But in fact, that call to expose our sin to the priest is very biblical. All the way in the Old Testament, as we heard in the first reading with leprosy, and it was true of sin. The people brought their sins to the priest who would offer a sacrifice of atonement for them. And so it makes sense when Jesus fulfills all things. He institutes a new priesthood and he gives authority to his first priests. We hear this after the resurrection when he says to his apostles, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. The priest, it's nothing in the priest's own humanity, certainly, that makes the priest capable of forgiving sin. But it's the authority given to him by the grace of the sacrament of orders, of holy orders, to act in the person of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And so another important Lenten resolution for us would be to take the opportunity to go to confession, to show ourselves to the priest with this confidence that God desires to act in and through the ordained priest for our healing from our spiritual leprosy. The Lord comes to us again this day in the Holy Mass. Let's ask him to give us the grace to see our own spiritual leprosy, to identify it, and to make a good plan this Lent to strive to grow, to open ourselves to the healing that our Lord desires to give us and to its fruit of union with God and one another. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.